And if you would, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. This is one of the passages that many of our students have memorized over the years, especially the ladies. Proverbs chapter 31. This is God's Word. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. Verse 10 and following is the most famous part of chapter 31, and it is an acrostic. Do you know what an acrostic is, students? An acrostic is a poem that every line or verse, depending on how it's written, begins with a letter of the alphabet. And so it may be, as it typically is, A, B, C, D, or in the Hebrew alphabet, or it may say something else, like a poem that begins, "More than you will ever know. Only now do I realize," and spells out mother. You say, more begins with M, only begins with O, and you can work your way down and write a lovely poem that way. My father loved to write poetry, and he wrote a poem for my mom before they were married. And the first verse began with the letter S, and the second verse began with the letter W. It had lots of verses. It was intended to spell out sweetheart. Unfortunately, my father was a better poet than he was a speller, and what he wrote was sweatheart. Still a lovely poem, but not quite the effect that he wanted from the acrostic. My mother read it and married him anyway. She was his sweatheart for 57 years. Well, verse 10 and following is an acrostic using the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's a wonderful memory device. It's a way, if you know Hebrew, it's a great way of memorizing this in the Hebrew. If you don't, you just have to memorize it in English. But this is a poem. It's intended to be poetic, and yet it's also God's word, and it's definitely instructive. But before we get to verse 10 and the acrostic poem, I want you to see what is said in the opening verses. Because a lot of people read verse 10 and following and they say, that holds up an impossible standard for women. Okay? That's just crazy. You can't possibly do all that. I mean, this woman's up before dawn and her light doesn't go out at night. I mean, is she sleeping with the light on, or is she actually still working? And apparently she's still working. So, you know, what kind of standard is that? Well, let's look. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. Mom is setting the boy up and saying, I'll tell you what you need to look for. You need to look for a woman who never rests like me. Okay? Somebody who never even gets to go to bed at night, is up all the time. I want you to know what I've done for you. No, it's not exactly like that. But do realize that this oracle, even though it's the sayings of King Lemuel, this is something he learned from his mama. Okay? Mom was the one who taught him these things. We've got a lot of stuff in here from father to son, father to son, father to son. The final chapter in the book of Proverbs is mother to son. Okay? So get that. Ladies, bear in mind, this is the standard as described by mom. You want to get along with your mother-in-law? Learn it right here. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. The first thing she warns him is watch out for women. They can ruin you. Okay? And if anybody in the scriptures would be an example of that, besides King Ahab, who was married to Jezebel, that's a story. But besides them, that was just a horrible fiasco. Solomon was arguably ruined by women. You mean he cheated on his wife? He didn't have to. He didn't have time because he had so many wives. I mean, he didn't just get married. He got married and married and married and married and married and married 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 married. He had hundreds of wives and concubines. This is crazy. But he didn't just marry a whole bunch of women. He married a bunch of pagan women. He did stuff in order to form political alliances. So where did he learn that? His daddy, unfortunately, King David. David had multiple wives. But you reap what you sow, and you reap more than what you sow. And so David had multiple wives. Solomon had hundreds of wives. Okay? A lot of David's wives were for political alliances, but not like Solomon. Solomon not only married pagan women, which was absolutely forbidden by God, but then he built places for them to worship their false gods. The Bible tells us that those who worship idols, the idol is nothing, but there are demons behind the idol. There are spiritual realities attached to false worship. And that's why we need to realize that greed is idolatry. And Jesus says no one can serve God and mammon. And if we are not careful living in this pagan culture that we live in, we can fall into the kinds of mammon worship that amount to idolatry. And it will not go well for us or our families or the next generation. Now, we can't expect pagans not to behave like pagans. But those who are part of the household of God need to be careful. And Lemuel's mom warned him, be careful, because women can lead you into that. What is it about women? Well, she's talking to her son. Okay? If she was talking to her daughter, what would she be saying? Don't squander what God has given you on men who lead you astray. Okay? Be careful. Well, now we live in a culture where you have to warn men against men and women, and women against women and men. That's how far astray we've gone as a nation. But understand, even in this perverted pagan culture that we're in the midst of here in the United States, the majority temptation for most people is members of the opposite sex. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to be tempted, the likeliest tool the devil will use is somebody to whom you were really attracted. Just know that. I've seen it happen time and again, decade after decade, with people who had enormous potential until all of a sudden they're, oh, wow. And somebody who caught their eye, caught their heart, and led them into things that they would never have done except that they wanted to make a favorable impression on that person. And for the sake of pleasing that person, they compromised their morals, they lowered their standards, and soon the guilt was such that they turned away from God. Because it's really uncomfortable to come around the one who is holy when you're engaged in things that are unholy. And so person after person turns away, led astray, by people that seemed more attractive, more appealing, more important right in the moment than God is. Be careful. Oh, my son, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. Does that mean I don't want you to marry? No, it means you need to be looking for a wife of noble character. Got it? Well, I'm a girl, so what am I supposed to do? Two things. Number one, be a wife of noble character. Okay? Be the kind of woman that a godly guy should be looking for. But secondly, pray that God will send you a godly man. Make the application here. Say, well, I'm not looking for a wife of noble character. I'm a girl. Are you looking for a man of noble character? Oh, I just wanted somebody who was really cool, you know, has a good sense of humor. Well, those are nice features, but that's not what matters most. What matters most is character. 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 Okay? Now, verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Booze will mess up your thinking and you'll end up doing things you shouldn't have done and failing to do things you should do. It is amazing how many people lose their edge because they just wanted to unwind a little bit with something to drink, and they don't realize that that thing's going to get hold of them. And so Lemuel's mom is telling him, just stay away from that. You've got responsibilities to fulfill. So are you saying there's no value in alcohol? No, actually there is value in alcohol, and it says so right here in Proverbs 31. It is a great medicine for people who are dying. Okay? Not for people who come in after a hard day and feel like they're dying, but people who are literally in the throes of death. Medicine is fine. My precious wife is going to think I'm crazy to tell you this. I have not gone out and bought booze yet. But as I have sought to work through what do we need in the event of an EMP that wipes out the grid all over this country and leaves us living in primitive conditions. Okay? You won't be able to refrigerate insulin or any number of other things that are important to many people in our society. Folks who are on medication for various ailments, whether it's physical ailments or mental ailments, whatever it might be, they're going to find that the pharmacies are no longer dispensing. And there's going to be a whole lot of folks in a world of hurt if that ever happens. It may never happen. I'm not telling you there's going to be an EMP. I have a word from the Lord. No, I'm not telling you any such thing. What I'm saying is we have medicine at our house for if anybody gets stung by a bee or something else they're allergic to. Okay? We have pain reliever at our house. In case anybody gets sick. I don't go around, I'm going to go ahead and take this just so I don't get a headache today. No, but if the problem arises, we're prepared. Does that make sense? We have firewood for when it gets cold. And we have enough so that if the power goes out, we can still stay warm. That's just being prepared. So, what kind of medicine would be beneficial? Alcohol that you can drink is an appropriate medicine for cleansing a wound, sterilizes. You say, well, you can do that with rubbing alcohol. Yeah, but you can't do this with rubbing alcohol or it'll really mess you up. So that other stuff will mess you up too. Yeah, but if you're needing to knock somebody out in order to reset a bone or in order to do minor surgery, alcohol's a good thing. But I know if I go to one of the liquor stores around here and load up for the end times, that's the end of my ministry. My kids, if they see that, they're going to say, oh, Daddy's lost it. Okay, so I can't do it. If one of you has a storehouse somewhere, tell me, we'll keep it as a secret. I'm telling you, there is a legitimate use for alcohol. Okay? And it tells us what it is. Look. Give beer to those who are perishing. Wine to those who are in anguish. Not talking about emotionally. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Why? Because they're dying. When my dad was dying in our home, the doctor prescribed morphine. And so we had it on reserve with a bunch of syringes and all this. Dad didn't need it. He didn't need it. We'd say to him, are you comfortable? He'd nod. Are you having any pain? He'd shake his head. Praise God. That was wonderful. So we ended up, after he was gone, we got rid of the meds. Not by having a party and not by selling them on the street. We disposed of them legally and appropriately. But I want you to understand, there is a place for stuff that knocks you out. But a party is not the place. Okay? If you think, well, I can handle it, I'll be the one in my family who can handle it. You're crazy. You're getting your thoughts from the enemy. Don't go there. If you are a student at Ware's Valley Ranch, there is a very high likelihood that in your family there's been a problem with substance abuse. And if you think, well, I'll be the generation that can handle it, that's like playing Russian roulette with most of the cylinders loaded. Okay? Don't do it. It's just not worth it. So many of our graduates told me, you know, Pastor Wood, I'm a Christian, I want to follow the Lord, but I don't think there's a problem with my drinking. The fortunate ones end up in treatment. Understood? Just don't do it. You don't need it. It's absolutely unnecessary. Some people can drink and it's not a problem. You're not one of those people. Okay? Just don't think that that's okay. Because it's not. Don't go there.
Well, what are the chances that I could swim across this pond and none of the alligators would get me?
Why would you do that? If you feel like you really need to be able to drink, then you mustn't drink. You must not drink. If you feel like, oh, but I just really want to, then don't! If it's not a problem for you, you can do without it. You can say no. You can just not go in there. Because it's not a must. It's not something you got to have. This mom is warning her son, if you drink, it's liable to keep you from doing what you need to do. You've got responsibilities. Because you're a responsible person, don't drink. Save the booze for people who are dying. Okay? Use it as medicine only. Verse 8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. That's the responsibility of leadership. That's what the son is being told that he's supposed to do in his role. And then verse 10, the acrostic poem begins. Please notice verse 10. It introduces everything else that's going to be said. Here's what's important. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Are rubies pretty? You betcha. That's the birthstone for July. Those of us who have July birthdays, the ruby is our stone. But guess what? Noble character, worth far more than rubies. Far more. Not just worth somewhat more. Worth far more than rubies. But what is it we're looking for here? What are we talking about? What is the thing of extreme value? Noble character. And it's rare. If there were rubies all over the ground, if every time you went out, yeah, I know, I see them, they're all over the place, they wouldn't be valuable. The thing that makes them valuable is they're not just pretty, they're hard to find. And guess what's even harder to find? A person with noble character. Most people underneath the veneer of civilization are barbarians. Okay? If you get under the surface, what it turns out is that this individual is totally selfish and just wanting their own way. They're not honest. They're not committed to doing what's right, no matter who's looking. And so, if that's what you're going to find here, 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 you better know on the front end that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be interested in you that you don't want to end up with. Okay? Don't assume, well, he must be the one because he makes me feel special. Okay? Yeah, he's had practice on a lot of other people that he made to feel special. Occasionally you'll see it in a movie where some girl is awakened to the reality of what she's been dealing with when she finds out that he's saying the same thing to somebody else. Or some girl says, yeah, did he tell you the one about... And it's like, yeah. Isn't that a bummer? Isn't that awful? Doesn't that make you just feel nasty? Well, let me tell you, that's life. There's a lot of garbage out there. don't fall for it. Got it? But person with noble character, a wife of noble character, is rare. Who can find such a person? She is worth far more than rubies. Next verse, 11. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. What a blessing. Trust is essential to a good marriage. To be able to have full confidence in the person you're married to be able to trust them. You don't wonder if they're going to stab you in the back. You know this is somebody I can depend on. This is someone who does the right thing. Her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. As long as I live, I'm going to keep my vow. I was singing at a wedding of some people I didn't know when I was in college. I was asked, would you please sing at this wedding? And I thought, well, you know, sure. I love to sing. So I go to the wedding, and I'm there, and I sing. It was a song I knew and a song I liked, and it was titled The Wedding Song. And so, it was great. Happy day. But because I had to sing for the wedding, I had to stay for the wedding. And the preacher, leading the vows, leads them to commit their love as long as our love shall last. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this as long as our love shall last. What kind of marriage is that? It's not a marriage. It's blessing fornication. Because there's no real commitment. It's just saying, you look really good too. Thanks. Yeah, I'd like to. Okay. Well, hey, what say we, become like a thing, you know? And then whenever you decide, oh, there's somebody I like more, there you go. Well, hey, our love didn't last, you know. These things happen, you know. You fall in love, you fall out of love. That's the way a lot of people live. That's the way our country is going right now. People just do whatever they feel like in the moment. You know, whatever floats your boat. Oh, you're a girl now? Wow. So I guess I should say, Her Highness. This is crazy. We're living in a sick culture. God says there's supposed to be character with the result that she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. A real marriage says, till death do us part. Is that clear? Or as long as we both shall live. Verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Two aspects of this, please notice. We're going to see these recurring in this description of the virtuous woman. She not only works with eager hands, but she is discerning. She selects wool and flax. She doesn't just grab some. She is able to look and discern. This is a good material. This is a good resource from which to make something else. She selects. She chooses. Did you know that the wool on the sheep in our pasture is pretty much worthless as wool? It's not good wool. Well, it's wool, isn't it? Yes, it's wool, but it's not good quality wool. You would not want a sweater made from that wool. The meat, however, is delicious. Okay? Those sheep are for their meat. They also have very good sheep skin. There are uses, we haven't been marketing it that way, but there are uses for the skin of the sheep, including diplomas from law school. Okay? It used to be, in the old days, when you graduated from college, your diploma was called a sheepskin. Because that's what they wrote it on. Okay, instead of just paper, which isn't going to last as long, you get really good quality sheepskin. Do you know that? I didn't know that. Seems kind of gross. No, it's not gross at all. It's a good use for that resource. But this lady selects wool. She knows which wool is good. She selects wool and flax, and she works with eager hands. So you got hard work, but a discerning eye and knowledge. She's like merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She doesn't just go out in the yard and pick some dandelions to make a salad. Okay? Could people really do that? During the Depression here in the United States, many people, in order to keep from starving, had to eat dandelions. Dandelion soup, dandelion salad, dandelion on two pieces of moldy bread. Say, wow, I mean, really, here in this country? Yes. There are people still alive today who live through that. And if you and I are going to be prepared for the future, we better know what's edible and what's not. But this lady brings her food from afar. Now, that doesn't mean she floats like a boat. She's like merchant ships in that she brings her food from a distance. She doesn't just rely on what is easily available, whatever is simple. I don't know. Go to Subway, get something. She gets up while it's still dark and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Well, why doesn't she just tell the servant girls to get up? Because she takes care of the people who take care of the family. You see that? She's got servant girls. But she doesn't say to the servant girls, hey, listen, I want to sleep in again tomorrow, so would you please get up and make sure that everything's good for me? You can do that occasionally, but her routine is taking care of others, making sure that they have what they need. So she's got servants, but she's taking care of them. She's providing food for the family. She's getting up while it's still dark in order to do so. Verse 16. She's good looking, but she's dumb as a brick. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I turned the wrong page. It says she considers a field and buys it. And out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's a businesswoman. I thought women were supposed to just be, you know, kind of clueless and totally just, you know, I don't know, honey. What do you think? I don't really have any thoughts of my own. I just kind of parrot what I hear you say, and I don't know. Make a real estate transaction? She considers a field and buys it. She's able to make business decisions. She is capable of making business decisions, not just intellectually capable, but relationally capable. Her husband says, sure, baby, I trust you. Her husband invests her with the authority to be able to make decisions. Anybody who thinks that the Bible says women should just be barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen hasn't read the Bible, okay? Just direct them to Proverbs 31, which exalts the picture of a virtuous woman as being somebody who is able to not only go out and get food, but do real estate transactions. It does not say, please notice, it does not say she considers a field and recommends it to her husband. Now, would there be anything wrong with her recommending it to the husband and the husband making the decision? No, nothing wrong with that. But there's also nothing wrong with a woman being capable of making the decision herself. That's not ungodly. It's not unsubmissive. Unless the guy is some kind of jerk who doesn't want his wife to be able to make any decisions. In which case, God will deal with him. But please understand this. The model that's being exalted here is a woman who is capable of making decisions. She's invested not only with the ability, but with the authority. Is that clear? Please understand that, all you folks who say, I just want my daughter to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Well, good. So you're thinking in terms of her being real estate and various other kinds of business?
What?
Well, I mean, we're going to get to manufacturing in a minute, but right here, she's capable in real estate, and out of her earnings, she makes a profit on that real estate deal. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Where did she plant it? Probably in the field that she considered and bought. Okay? So she doesn't just buy this field. She buys the field and then takes some of her own earnings and plants a vineyard to make that field more profitable over the long haul. This is a long-term investment. There is so much application here, but please understand, she's not flipping. She's planting a vineyard. Vineyards take time. If you plant them, they take years to yield. If you want to be a good investment person, think long term. Not just, boy, if I bought this today, I bet I could sell it in a few months for more. Well, maybe you could, but that sounds more like a gamble. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her tasks. She's even fit. This is amazing. She works vigorously. Her arms are strong. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp doesn't go out at night. In other words, it doesn't mean she never sleeps. It means that if there's something that needs to be done, she'll go on and get it done. Is that clear? She's not up before dawn every morning, but she's able to get herself out of bed. And her lamp doesn't go out at night. Doesn't mean never goes out at night. It means that she's able to press on, persevere, get the job done. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. This means she is hands-on in the task. She's not just telling other people what to do. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's generous. She looks to the needs of those outside her family, outside her area of responsibility that is primary. She sees that secondary responsibility of those who are not being so well cared for, and she wants to help them too, and she's in a position to do so. So she opens her arms to the poor, extends her hands to the needy, and when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. They're not just warm, they look good. The idea of being clothed in scarlet means they are well dressed, and there's more about that. Look. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. This is a person who has an appreciation for beauty. And she tries to create an environment that is lovely. So I don't think we should care about those things. I think everyone should just wear black all the time. Like the Shaker community, we're going to have... There aren't a lot of people in the Shaker community these days. Okay, it's not a good way to live. Why did they do that? Because they didn't want to get caught up in worldly things. Good. We shouldn't be devoted to the material. And the aesthetics should not be the most important thing. But look around, folks, at what God made. And realize that He loves beauty and we should too. That's why He gave us eyes that can see color. It's why He didn't make things so that we can only taste hot and cold. There are all kinds of flavors. Okay? It's why our fingers can not just detect pressure, but texture. God gave us our senses because He wants us to appreciate the magnificence of the creation, all of which is designed to reflect His glory. Her husband is respected in the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Her diligence and skill makes it possible for her husband to be at the city gate discoursing with the other guys in the city. Well, it sounds like he's kind of got it easy. Well, you don't know how hard it is to discourse. Look at this, verse 24, here comes the manufacturing. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. In other words, people want her product. The idea of supplying the merchants with sashes is a little like making and selling neckties today. Okay? You know, I don't know, there aren't that many people buying neckties. Okay, scarves. Have you seen all the guys wearing t-shirts and scarves? Something wrong there. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Do you hear that? She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's knowledgeable. She's smart. She's articulate. Wow! She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Man, that's some woman. Where can I find one of those? Well, actually, they're harder to find than rubies. But I want you to see, you're not looking for somebody who necessarily is expert in all these areas. Rather, this teaches us that all these areas are a biblical reflection of good character. Okay? I mean, you say, well, you know, I'm not sure that I can do all this stuff that this woman does. Oh, well, you don't have to. Aren't you glad? But you need to display the same kind of character. Hard work, attention to the needs of others, discipline, getting up early, going after it. What is the result? Verse 28 and following. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Here's what he says. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she's earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Hey, I thought the husband was at the city gate. You betcha. You know what he's discoursing about? He's saying, my wife is the greatest helpmate on the planet. She is so wonderful. He's praising her because she's earned it. That'll give you something to aspire to, won't it? And gentlemen, you not only need to look for somebody with good character, you need to be the kind of man that a woman like that would want to marry. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that your word from thousands of years ago tells us things we need to know today. We want to submit to you. We want to serve you. We want to bring you pleasure. And so we ask that you would work in us to bring glory to the name of Jesus. And we will give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.